Can you hear me? Yeah. Okay, sorry, I just can't do it like that because I only got these PDF files and yeah, it will work. So yeah, hello, welcome to my talk. My name is Günter Deschner. I'm giving a talk actually for some good colleagues of mine who unfortunately couldn't really make it to this conference due to some visa reasons. So these slides here provided are really mostly from Ponima and from Karen. Ponima is a very experienced Gluster developer in our team at Red Hat, focusing on many SMB-related topics, and she was working on some really important performance improvements for GlusterFS, which are really very important for Samba to operate correctly. And Karen is another colleague of mine working in the performance team. He's mostly focusing on really just performance measurements and testing out all kind of different configurations and scenarios and coming up with numbers and mostly really testing. Yeah, I am also working for the Red Hat Gluster Storage team. My part is really mostly on the Samba side. I just have a few occasions to really look into Gluster code. It's really just that I'm mostly a consumer of that interface. Right. So what is Gluster? As I explained in another call earlier today, it's an open source, general purpose, scale out, distributed file system, a bit comparable to Ceph maybe, but it has a little bit of a different history and a different focus. It aggregates storage exports over network interconnect to provide a single unified namespace. It's layered on disk file systems, on just the XFS, which we'll explain in the next slide. And yeah, the only requirement it really has is it needs a file system supporting extended attributes. So apart from this, there's no separate or dedicated metadata server. There's a modular architecture for scale-out and for functionality, also a little bit comparable to Samba. It has an interface for translators. So both on the server and on the client side, it loads a whole stack of modules that serve all kind of different purposes, most prominently dealing with the distributed hash table in order to find files in the on the cluster nodes, but also for all kind of features like volume snapshot and things like that. So it comes with a client and with a server module stack, which normally you don't really need to deal a lot around with because the UI is dealing with setting up these things depending on your volume type. It runs on just normal commodity hardware. There are no special requirements. It used to be only supported on 64-bit architecture for a long time, but I think this is about to change. And scalability, yeah, it's just scaling up to very large numbers. Not only really on paper, but also in the real world, there's a very large consumer of GlusterFS, which is Facebook. So they gave a lot of talks about their Gluster usage and also about the issues they were running, also the changes that they did make, the contributions they were giving back to the community. And a Gluster setup will look like this. You will have a cluster with the separate storage nodes just down below. On each of these storage nodes, you would have the bricks, and bricks are the smallest storage components you would have in such a setup. And normally, a brick is equivalent with a partition on the local file system formatted with XFS. And these things are then brought together in the so-called cluster volume, which then sits on top and then can be mounted using different access methods. There is a Fuse native client that allows you to just mount the GlusterFS as a local file system operated on it, and you will get full POSIX semantics. This used to be actually initially the first interface we used from the Samba side in order to export that interface over the SMB protocol. There is a built-in NFS server, a very old one, which is not really maintained anymore in the sense of that there are any features added or so. I think it's only really supporting NFS v3. So, but it's still there. It comes with Gluster. All the other consumers on the right side, they use a library interface called libgf API, and that interface deals with direct access to the storage nodes and comes with some shortcuts, of course, and in general provides much better and access and less round trips, because you don't need to have these kernel context switches when accessing it over a Fuse native client. So consumers of that libg API interface are Samba, as I mentioned earlier in another slide on the other talk. There's a VFS ClusterFS module, which directly links into that, which directly accesses that interface and provides VFS semantics on the Samba side. NFS Ganesha is also using libgf API. So we have a team of people working on Ganesha, on NFS Ganesha at Red Hat as well. And yeah, so for our purpose, of course, we mostly are interested or looking at SMB accessing Gluster. Then, as I mentioned earlier, we have the SMB client. You have typically on all the storage nodes running the SMBD process as well. So it's an active-active setup. All these servers can directly access the Gluster volume. They have it activated on all of these nodes, and they can access it directly. In our product, the Red Hat Gluster storage server, we use CTDB in order to deal with the distribution of IP addresses on that cluster. So this is something which is not really displayed here in the, on the slides, but CTDB is of course also our clustering component for Samba and for the HA aspect of NFS and for SAM and for the SMB protocol. We use a couple of slightly different defaults. I think most of them are the new defaults in the meantime. So we turn off kernel share modes, kernel oplocks, POSIX locking, because we have we can know for sure what kind of protocols we expose on our servers, in what fashion. And we use extended attributes to store the DOS attributes. Yeah, Ralph, question? Can you tell me how this works? Wonderful. Okay. Thank you. So thank you so much. Yeah, I didn't know that. Okay. Sorry. Okay. The tunables. So we decided to not map some of these access bits, but to store them all in extended attributes. So initially, we just enable much more extended attributes, which then really turned off to be one of the most strong performance bottlenecks we will see later. So in this table, Karen, my colleague, put in some numbers for large file I/O testing, sequential read, sequential write, random read, and random write, in comparison with GNFS, which is kind of the built-in NFS server. Unfortunately, he did not get numbers for NFS Ganesha, so we can't compare the two NFS implementations here. But we can compare it with the Fuse client, so the kernel module, which you can use to directly access the cluster volumes using POSIX semantics. Jeremy, question?
Do you also have numbers that try and Samba over the Fuse client?
Not separately, not on these slides, no. Unfortunately, not. No. Yeah. Yes, we have, and with mixed results, though. So, it works for sure. Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah, in many scenarios, it is. Yeah. Right. So you see that the SMB protocol pretty much is relatively close to the numbers you will get for accesses with the Fuse client. When you switch to small file I/O, you see a really impressive drop in performance. You see here, for example, SMB creates 50 files per second, while Fuse does 1,204. Another strong number is RMDIR 209 over SMB and 842 over Fuse. That's, of course, a very, very bad performance penalty. And the engineers working on Gluster then were looking to the, for the reasons why this is really the case. So the performance numbers were so bad that really using Samba on top of Gluster was almost impossible in the beginning. So Ponema was the one who did a lot of measurements, and there is some very nice profiling code which you can enable at runtime in Gluster that gives you a time that you define, you just start and you stop it. It will then record all the file opcodes which are happening on that volume that you define. So you can do very easy measurements of how many creates are happening on that for that SMB operation or whatever, how many extended attributes are taking place or something like that. And with that technology, she realized that there have been really a tremendous amount of create calls for SMB requests, and also the excess of extended attribute, as I mentioned earlier, was really showing up with very, very high numbers in these profiling outputs. And every create that we do from the Samba side really results in lots of negative file lookups. And at the time, there have been really a lot of caches missing for lookups, in particular for negative lookups. We will see on the next slide. So this turned out to be very painful. Then case-insensitive lookup of files in directory in general. As we know, there's all these case forwarding options, and SMB has to check for all kind of different combinations and has to apply these case-insensitive semantics on the case-sensitive file system. Lots of stats calls in general. So Samba really has been kind of a torture suite for a Gluster by just really exposing all these things and just doing normal SMB operations, really. Resulted in all these difficulties. So the first things that Ponyma has been working on was then to start aggressively caching in the Gluster client, which is then loaded by SMBD via this GF API interface, aggressively cache metadata information. So stat and xAttr info calls are being then cached. Initially, it was only a limited list of extended attributes, like the security anti-ACL, the DOS attributes, and two or three other things, which kind of we know that they will always be used by Samba once enabled. In the meantime, this has been extended for the next Gluster release. So first of all, I made a patch in order to make sure that if you run the fruit module, which also does excessive use of extended attributes for storing the resource forks and all these other weird things Mac clients might do when using Finder, so that they weren't also cached. So this was also giving them a dramatic user experience when using Mac over SMB over Gluster. So I added these attributes. But in the meantime, I think it's just pretty much all the attributes, whatever is coming in, will be cached by this metadata cache. Then Ponyma also worked on retier ahead, because another thing that caused a lot of performance regression was directory listings. It was going very, very slow. So retier ahead, there has been a translator created for that, I believe. And negative lookup, as I mentioned earlier, because we didn't store any of the results from negative lookups. We were really repeating calls really at a very, very high level. Then in Gluster, there's a nice call available on this GF API interface to get the real file name. So in order to prevent all these mixed case name lookups, which is, I think, internally also stored in extended attribute. And that's the benefit. If you use this VFS module, then you can have access to these specific performance optimizations at that level, which you don't have if you use the Fuse client, for example. So that improves the situation when you look up for case-sensitive searches. So here are then the testing numbers. They came up with the improvements in the first column and, without the improvements in the first column and with the improvements in the second column. And the third column, then, the performance gain from these numbers. You see just only with these three things that they've been working on, the create performance almost doubled, and directory listing got better by 900%, rename by 75%, RMDR by 44%. So this was really kind of the prerequisite to really start shipping Samba on top of Gluster at all in a fashion that really users can use it. But of course, we are not really fully done with that. There's still a significant performance penalty impact when you just compare it with running Samba just on top of a local file system, of course. There are a couple of things they are working on. There's a put-behind feature in Gluster client. I'm really sorry I can't elaborate on that much more because I don't know really what is meant with that. But there is another idea which has been also discussed for a longer time, which is to make some assumptions about your the cases of names on your file system, and with doing the translation work then in a client translator, and by that really doing cut for this expensive case folding with file names. So this is an experiment. I think they will have a kind of a prototype on, and maybe we'll add it to the upstream as well. And then there is the idea to come up or to rework the readdir implementation in the Samba file server for directory listing by doing asynchronous callouts to the readdir implementation of ClusterFS, because right now, if I see it correctly, I think all these calls are just done in a serial fashion without really any parallelization, and this could be just have a very, very good impact if we are able to just offload this with asynchronous callbacks and then deliver results from that. So, I'm sorry, but this is already the end of the presentation. So, again, sorry, I can't really speak for Gluster so much as I can speak for Samba, so but hopefully it was useful. Okay, any questions?
Asynchronous I/O modules?
Yes, that's right. They are enabled.
Enabled and loaded or not?
Modules, what do you mean? We use the smb.conf parameter on the Samba side to enable the asynchronous I/O for large I/O.
In my environment was that if I just enabled asynchronous I/O, that was good, but if I actually loaded, I don't know offhand which VFS module it was, but there's one that I wrote that actually made a significant difference.
Yeah. I think some of these modules have been removed recently. I'm not sure.
Right. I think there's still one good one. And that's what I'll have to look at what I'm actually doing because I know.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So the AIO for me to. The AIO for me to write would be folded into the Samba service.
Yeah, I think it's mainline.
As in which version? Folded 7 maybe? So I'm still 4.6. Yeah, okay, so that's one. Okay. And then the other one is this is Linux only, that is AIO Ethernet, which does asynchronous IO on both of them. But that would not work with Gluster, because that's a local file system like the phone. So that would not work. That would not help me with Gluster.
Right.
The Samba could need to be rewritten to use that TNode based set and receive paradigm. Then
yeah.
If we do that, then we could do asynchronous create and Gluster.
Yeah.
Ethernet is the one I'm using it to do.
That would be because you're showing up on your own version.
So another question.
So do you mention how many nodes you have in that area? Did the document number change to have 12 nodes?
I'm sure it will change if you add multiple nodes, but I don't know where these numbers have been derived from and how to what grade this ratio then will really apply when these changes are done. I can't really tell, but I'm sure there will be a change. Any other questions? To what Samba? Oh, yeah. I don't know on top of my head, but it will be kind of, for many calls, it will be kind of magnitude by 10 or something. So for sure, yeah. So there's an enormous performance penalty with clustered file system in general. I mean, I don't know if you, David has other experience numbers from using Ceph or something, but... yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I just have these few numbers here. And for just the native implementation, you see that for a small file performance, for example, NFS is just way not so chatty like SMB. SMB is really a nightmare for underlying file system because so many things have to be done in addition. And if not the right or whatever caches are in place, it's really just putting much more load over there. So, and single node setup, I'm not sure, I don't know. I can't really tell. No. Any other questions? All right, thank you very much.